May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. I love this yearly tradition. Hopefully we can keep it up because, you know, the vibes in the studio are great. But I'm Dan. If this is the first time you've watched us, this is our 150th episode, so hopefully it's not. But if it is, I handle all of the YouTube side of everything for Mac Rumors. But I'm also joined by my colleague, Hartley. Hartley, would you like to introduce yourself?
So I do a lot of our writing for our website. And so it's a pleasure to be here to see where the magic happens.
And then we have our very special guest, friend, Kevin Neither. Oh, Kevin the Tech Ninja.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, Kevin the Tech Ninja.
He's been on multiple times. Yeah. But let's jump just like right into it because I don't know if you noticed, but there was an insane amount of stuff yesterday. And for those of you who are watching this and are confused as to why we jumped into iOS 26 and seemingly skipped 8 years, that was by design. Everything is being caught up and brought into the release year. So, Hartley, how do you feel about the new name schemes of everything?
I think it makes sense to bring everything into line. I think for ordinary consumers especially, having these different numbers across different systems could be potentially confusing if you're running macOS 15 and iOS 17. It may seem like there's some disharmony there. So I think it makes sense just bring everything together. It's what vehicle manufacturers do. It's pretty normal.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense going forward.
Everything is 26. Most of the release will live in the year of 2026. So it makes plenty of sense. But macOS still gets its special name.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to Lake Tahoe before?
I have not been to Lake Tahoe.
No, me neither. Yeah. I need to get out there. It looks like a nice place. And that's the release name for macOS this year. We have macOS Tahoe. But let's just jump into the main design of everything, because this is going across all the platforms. So
this is the first time that Apple's had a universal design.
Yes. And this is the biggest update for, what, iOS since 7?
I would say so. I mean, I actually think it possibly goes further than that.
I mean, since what, like the dawn of time for the iPhone?
Pretty much.
So it's called the Liquid Glass design. We're just throwing out all the names today. And it's, inspired by Vision OS, which is funny because we've talked about this for a ton of episodes.
Well, I think the interesting thing is it goes a lot further than Vision OS. Mm-hmm. I think when we had these early discussions, I think we thought that it would almost be maybe a carbon copy of Vision OS, but because it's inhabiting a different medium, it's not actually 3D. You're interacting with it on glass.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense to actually really embrace that tactile element.
You're a Vision OS user.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this, you know, the inspiration behind the design?
I like it a lot, actually. And mm-hmm. when I was messing around with it, the new subtle animations is just, like, really clean, really crisp, very bouncy. Like, it has more life to it. Even though I'm a big fan of flat design, I am going to like definitely give it a chance and kind of see. Because I do love how it's animating. Like,
I think flat design for like 30 years.
I love it, though. Like, I really love it. But yeah, I do love the, like, glossy, lively, fun, playful. I mean, it's sort of, it makes sense, in my opinion. And having that between all the platforms. I think like it being unified, because Apple TV looks very different today mm-hmm. than it does on the phone, and you know, Vision OS looks different. So just getting everything together, I think will be good.
Playful is the word, I think, especially where the whole system now is embracing so much more depth and a much more 3D look. I think one of my favorite things is actually the way that you can now spatialize photos. I mentioned to you, Dan, a few episodes ago about how that's one of my favorite features about Vision OS. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you can now do this on an iPhone, especially if you do it on an iPad as well, and you kind of move the iPad around, it's so immersive. I think it makes viewing photos significantly better. And Apple's experimented with this kind of thing before, with the kind of parallax effect in iOS 7. But this just takes it to a whole new level. I really love that. It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah. Jumping back to your animations thing real quick. That was the one thing that I was kind of surprised on. Like during the event, everything's moving really, really quickly. So mm-hmm. we miss a lot, especially if we're like doing social media and posting all this stuff. I didn't realize like how new and different the animations are. And something as subtle as that really changes the whole vibe of what you're doing.
Yeah, even like the way notifications pop in, it's completely different.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that like really took me by surprise when you first see it. Let's just jump into, we'll start with iOS highlights, honestly, but like it's important to note everything, well, not everything, almost everything is feature parity across the board. So
at least for iOS.
At least for iOS, yeah, for sure. And then you're going to see a lot of the same stuff across all the platforms, specifically iPadOS and macOS. I'm sure you're not going to get some of the stuff on tvOS. One day. Hey, shout out to your boy.
Yeah.
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 Childhood friend up on screen doing the keynote. That's great.
Super proud of him.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was cool.
Okay, so tackling WhatsApp a little bit, messages, getting backgrounds, fun. I don't know.
I feel like each year we've got more personalization features in iMessage. And I really like that. I like the ability, especially in group chats, to make these different feeds feel different. Because I don't know about you guys, but it's very easy to send the wrong message to the wrong person.
Never done that before.
So this is one way of making that a little bit more avoidable, I think.
One of the things that I think was rumored years ago, Hartley, we probably have done an episode on this where we talked about, oh, you're going to get typing indicators in group chats.
Yeah.
Okay. We were a little ahead of our time, but now it's here. We can actually see if anyone is typing in the group, which is huge in my opinion. Cause you know, you write things out and then you kind of just wait there and you're like, is anyone going to acknowledge this? And then you get a little antsy and then you just become that friend that like can't chill. Apparently, is this just me?
I think
it might just be.
Yeah, it's just you.
That's just you, yeah.
Okay, well, here, let's take a poll, because that's another thing you can do. Just a perfect segue. Adding in polls. So how often are you going to use that, specifically in the chat with me and Andrew? Or are you just going to throw polls in all the time?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm going to use it for a good reason, just for very silly reasons. But the having the ability to do that, I think, is really cool.
We got a new games app.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And I'm actually not a huge mobile gamer. But I feel like this is going to reduce that level of friction for a lot of people, me included, to just be able to jump into games more easily. I remember when Game Center was its own dedicated app, and I actually quite liked it. And, you know, things on macOS especially, game launchers like Steam are very popular, but I don't really want to be using Steam. I want a dedicated place that collects all of my games in one place and also has some social features as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's perfect. I think it's just actually what Apple Arcade in particular has needed to just reduce that level of friction and make it so much easier to jump into games. Because I don't really want to see my games right alongside my productivity apps all the time. You know that's going to be distracting me. So it makes sense to have somewhere that is its own hub just for games.
And I think, honestly, you know, me having kids, like my youngest just is too young for an iPad, but he is the youngest child, so he just gets everything, you know, earlier than everyone else. And we let him, you know, play a couple of games on there, but he has no idea where to find them. Or like my daughter, sometimes she'll download games, she's like, I don't know where this is at. Now we just will point to it and say, you know, well, in the future, once we get the update officially, here's the games app and here's what you've been playing. Feel free to just hop right in. You don't have to go looking for it. Is that something that, you know, you're your parent too? Like that would just be super helpful.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, especially on Apple TV, because all the apps are sort of together with the games. And, mm-hmm. you know, my son's just opening like random apps instead of, because he's looking for a new game mm-hmm. and just having that one location to go and all the games are there. I think the social aspect is really cool because it brings in a lot of like high scores and achievements, even for single player games. So if you're playing a game like Ridiculous Fishing or whatever, and you have a certain score, someone can look at that and try to match that score. You get notified when that happens. And
we're going to do that. Thanks for accepting my friend request. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I was sending friend requests out yesterday to all my friends. I'm like, let's go.
I'm ready to play Ridiculous Fishing.
It's on.
All right.
This episode of the Mac Rumors Show is sponsored by Cash App. What's the least amount of money someone's requested from you to be paid back on Cash App? I think for me, I got a request back for, no joke, $1.50. And I paid it because Cash App is really just the easiest way to send, spend, and save money all in one app. I've been using Cash App for years, and I just love how fast and simple it is. If you want to sign up, it takes quite literally 1 minute, and I've never stressed out since then when splitting bills, paying back friends, or even just moving money around if I need to. Now, what sets Cash App apart from other apps out there is just how smooth everything feels. There's no weird menus. There's no confusing steps. You just open up the app and you get to sending money, and it's super easy, intuitive, customizable, and just way less annoying than some of the other ones that I've tried. And one thing I really appreciate is just how safe it feels. If something looks sketchy, Cash App gives you a heads up before you hit send. It's like having your own security guard for your money. Plus, you can customize your payments with notes, emojis, little animations. I don't know why. I just feel like it makes things more fun to add an emoji whenever you're sending somebody pizza money or getting a haircut or whatever the case may be. You have plenty of options to spice things up there. So for a limited time only, new Cash App users can actually use our exclusive code to earn some additional cash. For real, there's no catch. Just download Cash App and sign up. Use our exclusive referral code, MacRumors, in your profile, and send $5 to a friend within 14 days, and you'll get $10 dropped right into your account. Terms apply. That's money. That's Cash App. Thanks, Cash App, for sponsoring this episode.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Okay. So this is, you know, this had some heat last year. The Photos app, or was it 2 years ago? I don't know. Everything blends together. It was last year. The Photos app got redesigned.
It was last year.
Well, now it's different again. How do you feel about these new updates? It's just like the tabs are back, but just two of them.
Yeah, it's simplified and modernized, because I think the way that the Photos app was going back 24 months ago, it was a little bit confusing, where you could look at like recents was different to library. And I know that especially more casual users could get stuck in one and then not quite understand how to get back to the other one. So I think Apple's trying to work towards something here that is a simpler experience. And I think this is probably that sweet spot right now, where you still have that familiar feed, but then you've got your collections on hand as well. But it's just two sections. Yeah. So rather than four tabs, or you've got the scrolling view that sometimes could not be the most intuitive thing, now I think this makes a lot more sense.
I think it's perfect now. You've got, everyone was saying, just show me my photos. I want to see all my photos. Well, there you go. And then you got the tab that basically just takes you back to what you had before. So
I feel like they're simplifying things. I mean, we haven't got to it yet, but in the camera app too, you can kind of see that
That's
same
where we're
thing.
Going okay, next. So just take us there.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the camera app, it is now more simplified, where you see photos and you see videos, and then from there you can break down to what type of photo and what type of video. But right in front of you, it's just photo, video, pick one, and I think that's great for a lot of people, especially if you just want to take a casual photo. You don't want to go into portrait. You don't want to do, you know, cinematic video. You just want to do photo or video. I think that just simplifies it. And then the people who can dive deeper, they can then tab down and do the extra features.
I wonder if that'll limit my ability to just always accidentally swipe into a different mode when I don't want to. Do you think that'll... It's early.
I'll be honest, Dan. I don't think so. I think that's a you problem.
Yeah. How many times have you seen me with my camera or flashlight on?
Too many times.
All right, man.
Too many times.
I think this is the official part of when I'm realizing I'm an old person. So I'm doing things accidentally on tech that I shouldn't be doing.
Are you walking around with your flashlight on?
Yes.
Like it's in your pocket, flashlight?
Oh, yesterday, I noticed in the shorts that I was wearing, you could kind of like, they're a little translucent. I was on brand yesterday. My camera was open, and like you could see through my shorts, the camera app open. I'm like, how long has this been going on? Okay, so I also feel like with the camera app, that is a really good look into the design. Mm. Like, have you noticed that when you swipe through the different ones, there's kind of like a magnifying effect and like that glass?
And it's because it's pass through.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That really is quite VisionOS like, because you're ultimately seeing what's behind your device.
Yeah. See, let's see the spatialized photos you already touched on.
I am a huge fan of the spatialized photos.
I don't think it's going to be, it doesn't beat Vision Pro spatialized photos.
That's true.
Obviously, because you're more immersed in the way, but like it's
good.
I don't understand how it does it.
I don't understand how it did it on Vision Pro.
It's so impressive.
It was just witchcraft. And I'm like, I love it, but.
I definitely prefer viewing photos with it. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because sometimes these sorts of experiences, you can want them to sit alongside a more conventional viewing experience. And Apple gives you that option. You have to go in and tap to spatialize that photo. But I think I just really want to view all my photos like this.
All right. This is probably my favorite thing that's going across all. Like, it's on iPad. It's on the Mac. But we've got a new phone app. But more specifically, features that are so helpful and that other companies have done already. But like, I'm not trying to Apple shill here, but I just feel like this is going to be done right. And so,
but also, it's an iPhone.
And it's just,
it's so good to see like the basic functions of the app getting some love.
Exactly. I don't make phone calls a lot, but I sure as hell get a ton of phone calls.
Oh yeah, for sure.
From people I don't want
scam. Scam likely.
Scam. What was the thing you said yesterday?
Scam probably.
Yeah, scam for real.
Scam like, really, yeah.
I'm not scam likely. I'm scam for real.
Yeah.
So the unified design is happening across the entire, you know, when I say this, you got to just mostly understand it's, you know, iPadOS and macOS. But I think getting call screening and hold assist are just two things that, like, I didn't even think about.
Hold Assist is a game
huge
changer.
Mm-hmm. Although they used My Jam. I do love that song.
Which one?
I'm not going to sing it, but the iconic hold song that just sounds insane.
I feel like I've heard it a thousand times. When they played that, I could just feel some flashbacks.
Oh, my doctor's office still uses that, and it's awesome. I'm like, yeah, put me on hold again. I want to bump out to that. But like, it's good. You just basically can go do your normal. You can go live your life. If you're on hold for 40 minutes, it's not a big deal. You'll get it. Like once somebody comes back, it'll automatically say, hey, they were on hold. Like they stepped away, but I'm going to alert them and they'll come back. And then you'll get a little, go ahead.
I'm just laughing. So you're putting them on hold.
Yeah. Like when they answer, get a virtual assistant that puts them on hold. Now we flip the tables.
It's like a reverse zonal. Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that's amazing. Like that is something that I don't think that was rumored. Well, we didn't talk about it at all. So that's I like those, the little surprises that come in that you weren't quite expecting. Or if it did, it wasn't something that we've talked about ad nauseum, so you kind of forget. So there's that, and then there's built-in call screening, which, you know, scam likely. We're going to know for real this time. It's going to leave you. You can just kind of look. If you have the phone up, you can see, you know, the text coming through, what it is. And then you can decide whether or not you want to. And it's, again, all automated responses back to the person. It's just like having your own little virtual assistant. I like it. What do you guys think?
It's a great feature. It's one of those features that I'm glad is here, and it's something that you just kind of expect going forward with every phone, mm-hmm. because it's so helpful, and it's nice to finally have it on this phone. And you know, I sort of use that feature with voicemail, because when the voicemail comes in, you can kind of see it coming, you can answer that way, so now you can get there before it gets to voicemail, which I think just sort of adds to the fluidity of the phone call.
And it's 2025 and spam calls are still an issue.
More than ever.
Yeah.
I have every phone call I get 9 out of 10 times. It's spam.
I agree.
10 out of 10, honestly. What about music? I want you to lead this one.
I'm so excited.
This is your thing. You tell me, because I know I'm not an Apple Music user and you are. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I feel like there were a lot of music features. There were things like the new karaoke mode for Apple TV, which is cool. But I'm just excited to be able to pin stuff in the music app.
That is good. That is good. And well, Spotify's had this
I do
for a
have
while,
those
but,
those playlists and those artists that I continually go back to all the time. Yeah. And sometimes they can get a little bit buried. Or sometimes I would even do things like remove an album and then re-add it to my library just so it appears in my recents.
Wow, that's so insane behavior. Like,
it's perfect, this feature.
Yeah.
But the one I am most excited about is Auto Mix. And you know, I love crossfade.
Yeah.
How many hours have we spent talking about crossfade?
About the same amount of hours that we talked about iPadOS getting macOS, which, by the way, spoiler alert, yeah, we pretty much got that. We'll talk about it in a minute.
And so AutoMix, I don't understand how it's doing it, how it's augmenting the music in real time to just blend between like a DJ. And with some songs, obviously, that will work better than with others, but it's so impressive. And this is something I've wanted for a really long time, because now your music can just flow through for hours, really. Because crossfade's fine, but sometimes it can be a little bit obtrusive. Whereas, as far as I understand, AutoMix should understand if there's like dead space at the end of a song, or precisely how to slow that song down to blend perfectly into the next one.
Interesting.
I think that makes a dramatic difference to the listening experience.
You're not an Apple Music user.
No.
I know you're a Spotify guy.
Yeah. You know, but I do listen to Apple Music for like Dolby, Dolby Atmos. And
I'm still a subscriber. I still pay for it.
And lossless music. So I do tap in for those special features. But,
same.
But mainly in the car. I am a Spotify user in the car. But
same.
I'm all down for new features, and maybe I can stop paying for one service.
Let's jump into some of the other platforms. We'll spend a couple minutes on some of the smaller ones. Not that they're not important, but you know, there's just not as robust and not as many features as iOS, iPadOS, and macOS. But with WatchOS, we did get a big one, Workout Buddy. If you're out there and you need that motivational pep talk in your ears, well, now you're going to get it. You get real-time insights. So if you run, you know, 6 miles a day and you're having a hard time figuring out what mile you're at and what your speed, or you just don't want to keep looking down all the time, this will tell you, hey, you're at mile two and you ran this mile, you know, 3 minutes faster than the other one. You're crushing it, or slow down a little bit. Like maybe you're going too far. Like that's the kind of stuff that I think people would really, really like. And obviously Apple agrees since they made it. What do you think?
Well, people love activity awards.
Mm-hmm.
And this feature really reminds me of that, in the sense that activity awards are sometimes a little bit buried because you have to go and look for them, or they have to pop up. And so you can lose a sense of your goals and maybe how you're actually progressing with those achievements. But because this is going to speak to you in real time as you're working out, you're provided with that progress. So I think that's very cool. I would really like to see this sort of expand into other workout apps as well. It would be really nice in the future to see if there were some APIs that could be plugged in for that. And of course, the Workout app also is redesigned as well.
Yeah.
The Workout app gets a pretty big upgrade this year.
Yeah, it'll be easier to find in, just like tap into the workouts that you want to do instead of having to scroll through a bunch.
And back to Apple Music, it also can suggest music. Which is perfect, because I always, when I work out with my Apple Watch, I always have to go hunting around for like my workout playlist or music that I think is okay for working out. Sometimes I'll do things like put on my 2025 replay and then skip through to songs that I want. So even just a little feature like that, where it will just suggest music for me.
Now, I did
incredibly handy.
I did ask Apple about this, and they have to get back to me. But I was curious if that was going to play, or if that was going to recommend music from Spotify or other services as well, because now we're just going to be left out, or that's when we have to tap into Apple Music.
Yeah, for sure.
Get used to it.
For sure. So once I get that update, if I do, I'll let everyone know, because I'm sure other people will probably have the same thought. Or am I just the only Spotify user that is a part of this podcast?
You might be.
Mm.
I one day I'll convince you.
I'm sure I'll get some comments like, you're not alone, or you're an idiot. I don't know.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
We get new gesture this year. A couple years ago, we got this.
Yeah.
Now we got this. The old wrist flick. How do you feel about Are you going to be doing this all the time when you get notifications that you don't want?
I quite like it. I think that is probably one of the most common things that we do on the Apple Watch is to just dismiss a notification.
Just get out of
so
here.
So it just makes sense to just have something really convenient, because sometimes this can be a little bit aggressive, or you have the wrist slappers too. That's the other one.
Who did I call out on that this week? That's me.
I'm a wrist slapper.
And Andrew, I think, like, what are you doing? Stop hitting yourself, man.
I think I slap the wrist if I don't like the notification. If it's something really bad, like scam likely, I just slap.
Damn, for real.
slap it away.
No, like, I now we're just gonna see a lot of people like disgust. Just get out of here. But that's cool. Yeah. So you can dismiss anything. You can, any notification that's coming through that you don't want, you just, you know, kind of flick your wrist up and off it goes. And the last thing in watchOS that I want to touch on real quick is that we got the Notes app. So I think we need to move our podcast plan back to the Notes.
Yeah.
So I could just do this the whole time.
I've wanted the Notes app on Apple Watch for ages, particularly for some things. You know, I'm a big notes guy. That's my thing. So there are always those situations when I want to be able to refer to something. And it may not be, you know, if you want to make a shopping list or something, you can use reminders. But not everything works like that. Sometimes you need to be able to refer to something like podcast notes on the go.
Yeah.
And that is pretty convenient to be able to do that. Or even just quickly make a note.
Yeah, I mean, I joke, but I'm serious. Like, that can be really useful, especially if you don't have your phone nearby and you just need to do that, make a quick note. Now you got another opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's just something that...
Real great insight there, Kevin.
I'm just saying, what more can you say? It's the notes app on your watch.
What more do you want? This is what separates us from other podcasts. You have to have more about the Notes app.
I think it's a deeper understanding about having the fluidity between different continuity apps.
Let's jump into what made me literally audibly gasp during the event. This was the only time I think I actually made a noise that was like in shock. And this was the widgets in Vision OS.
Oh yeah.
Right? I mean, I was just like, yo, I can redesign my whole house now. If you can get widgets on Vision OS now, you put on the Vision Pro, look around your house. You got a mantle and you're like, you know what? I've been wanting to put a photo frame up there for years and I just haven't done it yet. I'm going to put one up there and I'm going to do a widget, and you can adjust the frame borders, the colors. You need windows.
And they're fully 3D.
Yes. They were cool.
I think the coolest thing about them, weirdly, isn't actually anything you'll use. It's the fact that if you turn your Vision Pro fully off, it will remember their location in your room.
That's amazing.
So you can like legit have like a virtual office consistent.
It will remember its locations. It will inhabit, or will appear to inhabit, that physical space.
You lack in windows in your office? Put a window with the weather app in there. I'm not even kidding. That was one of the use cases. It looks like you're looking out, but you get your forecast. If it's sunny out, you're getting that sun. That's great. Like that's awesome. Like that's the kind of thing that
that encourages you to get up from your desk or wherever you're using your Vision Pro and actually kind of move around your space a little bit more.
I'm a little hesitant to bring up personas. Kevin knows why.
It looks bad.
No.
Yours looks bad.
Let's preface this.
Yours looks bad.
The first iteration out of the box.
It was rough.
Yes. And then it got significantly better with the update.
I had nightmares when you called me.
Shut. And now it's like that was another, I almost audibly gasped during that one, because it was already fun, and then it just looked insanely like lifelike. The persona's got a huge, I want to try it. I cannot wait to do that. And,
same.
And hopefully it makes me look a little better.
Call me.
There's just one comment that still sticks in my brain that was like, people are complaining that their personas don't look good, and they realize that it's just them that don't actually look good. And I was like, ouch, but that might be true. They just don't realize this is what they look like.
You should be able to go and like modify it a little bit, and you know,
if I want
to
draw like a mustache,
put a little makeup on.
Well, there are more options now. So now you can choose like a thousand different pairs of glasses.
Oh, I didn't know. Really?
Which is really cool.
Pretty cool.
There is more of an element of customization.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay.
It's so cool. I think that I think this is like the third major stride forward with personas, and this feels like the biggest one. It's near indistinguishable from like a completely photorealistic image now.
I think it makes it less creepy. Like, people were creeped out in the beginning of it, maybe because it didn't look like us. I'm thinking it didn't look like me when I first got it out of the box. Now it could actually, you know, just make sense during a FaceTime call. Like, I just want to tap into a FaceTime. I mean, I'm going to we should do the podcast, like one episode like this with the new personas. Go get yourself a Vision Pro. We've talked about
it. I will. I want to give it another try.
We've talked about this. Go get back into it.
I was going to say, do you think you'll feel confident enough to, like, someone who doesn't understand Vision Pro and, like, you tap into a video call with them or a Zoom call with your son's school or whatever? Like, you show up and you slide so in your persona?
you slide in.
You spin in.
Do I feel comfortable doing it? Yeah, but do I feel like I need to preface that I'm using something when I do that? Probably.
I did it with my dad, and he said, "Are you on vacation?" That was the only thing he asked me. Was I on vacation?
What, did you just like create a model of yourself?
I was in the mountains. Like, okay. Yes, Dad.
That's cool.
I'm in the mountains.
So if you do get another one thing we can do is group collab.
Oh, yeah. So there's so many new features for that this year for teams, for enterprise purposes.
Yeah, working together.
Even in education, that would be really useful.
Or if you just want to watch a movie on a gigantic screen together.
Yeah. Mm.
I understand that you can just watch it on a TV, but there's no TV out there that can take up my entire wall of my living room. I mean, you could probably, but that's going to set you back a few $100,000. So,
and it's a way of making Vision Pro less isolating.
Yeah.
Because now you can actually work with someone else in that digital space.
We get accessories. You can draw using the Logitech pen, which is, I was not expecting, just not, you know, when that happened, I'm like, oh, that's really cool. But the other thing is the PlayStation Sense controllers. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be playing pickleball or what?
I'm down, yeah. Sounds for sure, great. For sure, yeah. I think the controller is sort of the next step to add a little more value to gaming, because gaming with just the hands is just, it seems like you're losing some of that feedback because you need to grip and grab and things like that when you're gaming, and having those controllers would be really nice. I do wonder if those controllers are going to go on sale independently from PlayStation VR, because right now you have to
get a VR
as of right now, but I'm not sure if you can get those independently or if that's going to be a thing, like you go to the Apple store, buy Apple Vision Pro, yeah. And then they have the controllers there for you.
Wouldn't be surprised if
it should happen.
It should do that.
It should happen.
Like, what if
yeah.
you don't have a, you know, you don't have a PlayStation, but you're like, I want those controllers for my Vision Pro.
For sure, yeah.
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 Anything else you want to touch on with Vision OS before we move on?
I think the scrolling is also very
cool. Yeah. I feel like I missed that during the keynote when it happened, and then I was like, wait, that actually happened? That's amazing. Yeah, you can just scroll with your eyes. You don't have to.
And the scrolling gesture is pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's just a way of not having to fatigue your hands too much.
Yeah.
So I think that works well.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to fatigue my eyes, though.
Or you just like, be like...
yeah, I mean...
It's not that hard. You just look at it.
And then something else I saw was the hand tracking at 90 hertz now. Mm. So it's going to be look a lot better when you're tracking your hands. That's going to help with gaming as well.
I think that get up to 120 though.
I think that's a gaming thing.
All right, let's move on to iPadOS. This was my jam.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I was excited about this. No, they did not say macOS one time during the. But it's we're there. I mean, we have an entirely new multitasking set up now. You can have as many windows as, well, I don't know if that's true. What's the actual, like, is there a limit?
I don't know. I imagine that there
I'm sure there is a limit.
There is a limit.
I have not gotten there yet.
You don't really need to worry about that, because now you're kind of breaking out the limits of Stage Manager here, because everything is so much more fluid and responsive, and it responds like macOS. You've even got the little traffic light indicators.
You can minimize. Yeah.
So it is so... It's so simple and yet and sort of familiar, but it still is very iPad specific. And the thing that I always have said to you that I'm concerned about with the iPad is if it did become too much like macOS, then ordinary users who just like an iPad for being an iPad are going to feel very isolated by that, because they like the fact that it just launches the full screen. And I love the fact that it stays like that.
You don't have to.
You grab the edge.
Yeah.
It's the simplest possible solution.
Apple did it the right way. Like, they're not jamming this down your throat. If you don't want to use it, you don't have to. But the moment you look in that corner and you see the little grab indicator thing, you just slide that up, boom, you're in Stage Manager. And now you can open up as many apps, resize them, put them wherever you want. Off the screen a little bit, fine. If that's the way you roll, then go ahead and do it. And then if you get rid of all that, go back into a full screen, and then go back out of that, everything kind of stays the same.
And you can minimize stuff as well.
Yes. You can, like, easily quarter tile everything, which is cool. Like, there's just so many. It's very much macOS. Like, I'm sorry. Even the traffic light, like you said, when you hover over the green one and it brings you all those extra options, like, where have we seen that before?
Well, some things I actually think are a little bit better than macOS. Yeah. Like, I like this flick gesture, the tile things.
And we get a menu bar, but what makes it interesting is that it's not always there. Mm-hmm. You have to, it's off screen, you go up to the top, drops down, and there is everything that you need. Like, I think, what else do we need? What else do we need, Hartley?
I don't know. I think we got our full wish list. I mean, the thing I was most excited about was the pointer.
Yep. How many times have we talked about this?
So many times we talked about this. Yeah. Because while the dot-shaped pointer, it was very interesting when it was unveiled, very TVOS-like. Mm-hmm. I've always found that to be an inhibitor to productivity. And I always felt that it kind of slows things down and it lacks that precision. And the way that Apple's talking about this new pointer, the wording that they are using is precision, which I really appreciate. And everything now feels like it can be a desktop class experience if you want it to be.
It's still not quite the same as macOS, though. Like, it just, they just leave it ever so different, but it's fine. It's,
but
like,
it needs to be, because it's got to be responsive to touch in a way that
like, it makes sense, but it's still not one for one, like what you get. So just don't, if you're expecting that, not quite, but I think this is way better than what we had before.
Yeah. I think for day-to-day usage, I think I can go to an iPad now.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah. Just for day-to-day usage. I still think, you know, I still think there is a little bit of difference, like when it comes to, you know, pro workflows that I do with work and everything like that. But beyond that, I think just casual couch surfing or casual just like doing things, I think it's great because, you know, great battery life, better battery life. It's super quiet, doesn't get hot, incredibly thin. I could take it off the dock and just walk around with it, show some things and have more interactive games and just fun things. Yeah, I think that's a huge, huge update. I think it fundamentally just for me puts the iPad back kind of like to the top shelf for me.
I think you can do it though, not all the time, but I think if like, you wanted this to be your travel computer and not bring anything else.
I agree. 100%.
His Final Cut Pro for iPad is good. We are missing, the reason why we don't use all the time is we are missing some plugins and things that we use. But I think there's enough to where if you're doing like what I did yesterday, a recap video, it doesn't need to be that insane. You don't need to go over the top with effects and things like that.
I agree.
You know, just get the content out there. And one of the biggest things that I love about this update is there's background like tasks that can happen and complete. And so anything that if you're exporting a Final Cut video, like we do, how often are you at a hit share? I'm doing something else. I got to get, I got to get it prepped. I got to get the thumbnail going. Like,
it's great. It's great.
So now you can do that. You don't have to wait. And like, if you move out of Final Cut, like I'm not sure if that thing's going
to
export.
Yeah. What? Or you have to like keep tapping the screen, make sure your screen doesn't time out.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
yeah.
It's more Mac-like than ever.
It is.
And, but yet it can still be an iPad when you want it to be an iPad. And I think that's the perfect blend.
I agree. 100%.
I agree. I think this is the multitasking and sort of productivity upgrade for the iPad that we've really been waiting for. We've talked about this a lot over the years, but I feel like Apple's actually finally done it and found the perfect solution.
One of the things that I think we really needed to make it more macOS-like, to make it something that's, you know, dedicated for your workflow, is a revamped Files app. And we got that. We have folders now that we can bring in the dock. Hartley, you've often told me that you don't think you could do your job on an iPad because of the way you need all these, you know, different multitasking capabilities, and you need Finder, you need File Manager.
Do you think I could do it now.
All right, I'm going to
hold you to it. And of course, we get Preview as well, which was another one of those little things that we've mentioned over the years that we really wanted.
Do you want to take us with the Journal app?
And we got the Journal app, too. And we also got that for the Mac.
I was going to say, go ahead. I know you're so excited.
So it always kind of bothered me the way that, because I'm a big journaler as well as being a big notes guy.
That's awesome. That's great.
My thing with the Journal app is, as cool as it is to get all these different suggestions, to be able to type an extended entry of, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of words on an iPhone, I'm just not going to do that. Mm-hmm. But with an iPad keyboard or a Mac, that's not possible. And now you can create multiple journals as well for different things. So if you want to have a journal related to a trip, or you need a journal related to your work or different parts of your personal life, if you want to journal what you're doing with your sports practice or whatever, now you can do that separately in separate journals.
I don't know if I'm going to journal, but if I do, this is what I'm going to use this as an excuse. This is what I was waiting for. So maybe now I'll start. Like on the phone, mine hits me up at like 8 p.m., Do you get the same?
Yeah, I get the same. I ended up turning it off. And but Hartley is correct. Like I never want to type something out on my phone, like something like deep, heartfelt. I'm going through something, or I just want to like express something. And on the phone, I'm so like abbreviated. I'm so like, I don't want to get deep into it. But with journaling, you want to like convey that emotion. And I feel like I'm way better on an actual keyboard to do that. So it is something that I will be more mindful of, right? Mm-hmm. And actually journal more because of that, because I'm on a computer and it just makes more sense to me. Because I was writing in the notes app and copying, pacing over, but then that's a lot of friction to do that.
Oh, so you are a journaler.
I tried it for a little bit and just, there was so much friction to do it. It just wasn't great. So I'm going to try to get back to it because I can now do it on my Mac, like where I'm normally at anyway.
And your iPad. But speaking of Mac, let's just move right into macOS Tahoe. Love the design that's carrying over, obviously. We talked about it. I think it looks really good on the Mac, the dock and everything. I just think it looks really, really good. A couple of things that we're getting kind of the feature parity, but a little bit later on in the life cycle of it, live activities. I think that's huge. If you order a Lyft, but you're still doing some work, like you don't have to keep looking at your iPhone. You can see it up there in the menu bar. How often have you done this before? Have you customized your folder icons in the past? Like tried to add, there's a hack that you can do.
I have too.
Now you don't have to.
And especially if you have a lot of files, identifying those quickly can be quite difficult visually. So it's a great improvement. And that's also on the iPad as well.
Yeah. So I was saying now you don't have to do the hack of like going into the properties and swapping out the images. You can customize your folders. You can make it easier for yourself, you know, find the files that you need, color code it, whatever. All new Spotlight. This was huge. I think this is going under the radar a little bit.
I am so excited.
They spent a lot of time on it. Would you like to carry us through it?
So there are so many features here. It seems it's like Spotlight's really been rebuilt from the ground up. I think the thing I'm most excited about are the quick keys. So this means that now you can just type a couple of characters that will be assigned to different actions, maybe to create a calendar event or a new reminder. And these will be throughout the system, and it will enable you to get to things even faster. And then you can also do things now like build shortcuts in Spotlight. And this also really is now going to become the main launcher for apps, because the experience you now get where Launchpad was, which is now just applications, is also a lot more like Spotlight as well. And Launchpad has bothered me for many years. I like App Library, but I think that for the Mac, you needed a more dedicated solution, because it's so easy on the Mac to just immediately hit into Spotlight and just to get to where you're going. But it never quite went far enough, and that's why other third-party apps had tried to provide solutions like that in the past. But some of these are quite finicky for ordinary users. So trying to reconsider the whole experience from the ground up and build so much in there, but it still is just really simple. You just type what you're looking for, hit enter, and off you go.
Yeah. I mean, I've tried all of the like third-party ones, and I always come back to Spotlight just because I want to use a first party integration. Sometimes it's better at other things. And you know, a lot of these other apps are really, really good. I think this is like, it's got everything that I need. You can send an email. I mean, just how insane is that?
I saw that, like literally, like you're taking actions in apps without going into the app, which I think is really cool.
Instead of me going command space mail, command space, I'm going to send that email right from there. If it's something that you can do just a couple sentences. You
know? And it's context aware. Yeah. So it's aware of what apps you have open right now to understand what it, what actions you might be trying to take that relate to what you're doing right now.
How's this going to change your life, per se, on the Mac?
So I'm actually a big Raycast user.
That's what I was going
to say. I have it integrated to ChatGPT and all those things. So it'll be interesting to see if the new Spotlight would replace that for me. Mm-hmm. But I am definitely going to give it a chance and give it a shot to do that. Because like I always try to use Spotlight, and there's like, you know, there's little updates here and there. And I give it a shot, and I was like, oh, you know what? I'm missing X feature. I'm mixing this feature or whatever. But it feels like it has everything. Mm-hmm. Like I am going to give it a shot and see, because I'm really big on just, you know, command space bar and just type what I need and like don't go into anything else, like have everything in one interface, like typing away. So I feel like Spotlight has that, but it's also simple enough where if someone just wants to launch an app or however they use it, look for X file or anything like that, they can still do that. But then you can dive deeper, integrate it to shortcuts. You can like have some really advanced stuff. So I think it is possible to replace all those other apps, which
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Speaking of deeper integrations, ChatGPT on the Mac, like specifically with Type-2C, I saw a demo of this. You can do this in the ChatGPT app. It's not new, but this is not something that you could have done before. You can generate files just typing to Siri, you know, asking it to do something that ChatGPT would then have to take over. But then you can, you know, the demo that I saw was like a recipe, and it gave a recipe, and then it was like, all right, give me a spreadsheet and scale it for 10, 12, 15, and 20 people. I'm not sure how many people are going to be there, blah, blah, blah. And it generated all within the little type to Siri box. And then you can take that file, drag and drop it to wherever you need to. Like, all right, if I don't have to go into the ChatGPT app and it's just like all the good features are heavily integrated, that makes me want to use it even more. And I've been using ChatGPT more. I don't know if we talked about this.
Yeah.
I've been using it like I think a lot of younger people do, where they like talk to it as if it's like their therapist.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not doing that, but I'm using it a lot more for just everything. Literally medical advice. The other day I was like, I've had this and I don't know how I'm feeling. It's just like, I'm getting into it. And I'm like, let's go.
The funny thing is
it everywhere.
I use it for cooking all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I use it for cooking. And there was one time, short, quick story. There was one time where I needed a certain screw that I couldn't find. So I took a picture of what it was and I said what the model was. They told me exactly what screw to go to. Mm-hmm. Then I went to Home Depot and took a picture of the screws and I said, which one is it from here? And they said, oh, bottom left, right one. Took a picture of it and said, yep, that's the one.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. I now can do stuff around the house because ChatGPT.
I would like to clarify that I also do see doctors still. I just want to know.
Yes, you do.
The ChatGPT was just to make sure that it's like, this is not a medical emergency that requires attention right this minute. You know, more for like a peace of mind. Please go see your doctor if you have a problem. Do not rely on ChatGPT 100%. But it's nice to have that, like, you know, it's like everybody Googles their illnesses. This is just like a much better version of that. So go ahead, Hartley. Do you have any insight into, are you going to become a better or I guess a bigger ChatGPT user on the Mac?
I already use it a lot. But for me, it all comes down to integration. And I think that Apple is really stepping that up now across the system. You know, last year we got ChatGPT integration with Siri, which is really good. But I think that to go further than that with things now like the upgrades to visual intelligence are where things start to get really interesting.
Let's just take us there. Just go ahead. Our final segment, Apple intelligence and visual intelligence, all of that got, there were some features. We did get some new stuff. It wasn't the center of attention like it was last year, but we did get some new stuff. And honestly, I really like everything that I saw this year. But what was your thoughts on that?
So with visual intelligence now, you can take a screenshot effectively and you can send that to visual intelligence if you like. So it will analyze exactly what's on your screen. So you can make inquiries about what you're seeing and ultimately, I assume, take actions in the future.
I mean, they showcased it and I saw a demo. Like you can literally say, you know, take a screenshot of the lamp that you saw on Twitter. Someone had it in the background maybe. And if that lamp is discovered across, you know, shopping, like if you have an Etsy app downloaded, it will literally give you that. Oh, here it is on Etsy. I found it. Tap it, takes you right to the app. Go buy it. This is dangerous for my inability to save money. But it's cool. Like if you've ever wanted to know what something was, you're like, oh, I want that. But like, I can't find the link. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, this is so much easier. I'm a little skeptical on the whole screenshot thing because how often do I take accidental screenshots, as we've talked about? I'm a little nervous that I'm going to start doing things in my pocket just on accident with like Apple Intelligence and ChatGPT, because you can also ask ChatGPT to analyze what it is that you're looking at. And I don't know. I thought like the action button or camera control would have been, I know that we're trying to make it so that phones can have it.
But think for ordinary users.
I guess.
Understand that is screenshot. What they've got to do to capture the screen.
Yeah.
That makes most sense.
Sure. But like all the phones that these features are available on have those extra dedicated buttons. And one of them quite literally was used for visual intelligence when it first launched.
Yeah, but that's to take a picture of what you're looking at.
Sure. But like, couldn't there be like a, you know, just like you hold it down and then it's like, all right, analyze.
I think this is a you problem.
Like
this?
You like that? No, I mean it's not a problem. I haven't used it yet, but like. You like the way that you have to do that?
Yeah, it's just I think it makes perfect sense because it's just easy for an ordinary person to understand.
I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm just saying I don't know about it. It's suspect to me right now.
I'm with you on this one, actually. Oh, I'm actually with you. Yeah,
finally.
The millennials are winning.
Help me out
Let's
here.
Run a poll. Let's run a poll.
Help me out here. 2-1. Tell this 2-1. What's going on.
2-1.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's
come
it's,
on.
Yeah, no, it's... It's definitely a feature that I've used on other devices, right? This is not like super new, right?
Yeah.
But just having it first party is always good because you're always going to have that deeper integration. And that's what Apple's good at, just that deeper integration. And then, you know, the overall goal is for your device to understand you so it can give you better suggestions throughout time and everything. So when you're doing something first party, then the phone learns more about you. And then next time you're doing something or next time you do a search, all that information is more relevant to you. So
I do like that it does suggestions like that.
Yeah.
Where like if you took something and it's like, oh, you want to add this to your calendar? Like, that's super helpful.
Yes.
But it's not just like, oh, add to the calendar. There's other things that it's going to like suggest there for you automatically if it makes sense. So I think it's a good feature for sure. I just don't know if I like the way you have to get into it. That's all. How about combining emojis? Are you going to do this?
I have actually been a Genmoji convert. Mm. So I have learned now that I should not be too judgmental about emoji usage. I'm becoming a better person.
Yeah.
So
good for you. I'm happy that you've worked on yourself. You've reflected. I don't use Genmoji a ton, but I do use it. And this actually does help a lot because there are times where I'm like, I just want to do like this face, but like with you, you know, like I can add your person and your Genmoji in there, but I want you to have the shocked face or something. It doesn't always get it quite right. Now you just put that emoji in there with your emoji and then it just combines. It's perfect.
Because certain emojis are so iconic that you don't necessarily want to reinvent them. You just want to change out the person or a particular aspect of them.
So before anyone's like, who cares about, like, I genuinely think this is actually very useful.
Yeah.
If you're an emoji person.
Sure.
Okay. You're older than me, so now
I know.
Now
I just use the
Hartley. I'm back on your side, bro.
I use the default emojis and I keep it moving. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you the crying? Hold on. Did we talk about this?
The crying laughter.
Are you sideways or are you? What's the other one? No, you're sideways.
It depends on the intensity of laughter. if it's an actual laughter, it's definitely three sideways. And the bones and crossbones.
Well, dead. Yeah.
Dead because I'm laughing so hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like I'm never the sideways laughing.
Crying. Sideways laughter.
No, yeah. I'm always the
stoic.
The stoic. Yes. The original. What's the young one?
I would say like the skull emoji.
Skull, here you go.
Oh, well, but that's not the same.
No, I'm dead. I'm laughing so hard.
Well, now you can combine those two, guys, so have fun.
I'm going to have a sideways laughing dead.
Live translation. We need to talk about this because this is huge. This is absolutely huge. You can literally get live translation at phone calls, FaceTime, and messages. And we were talking about this yesterday. I don't know how to describe this. I am fluent in Italian, but I cannot speak it, if that makes sense. I know that's hard to explain. I'm half fluent. I don't know. Like my family is from Sicily. They were born there. My parents still talk to me in Italian, Sicilian, and I fully understand it, but I never spoke it back to them. I just responded in English, but I know exactly what they're saying. They used to try to talk bad about us as kids, like when we were like away, and I'm like, I can hear you. I understand everything you're saying, but I don't feel comfortable like talking to like my grandma, for example. Like she does not speak any English, but I would just respond back to my mom. She would usually kind of like intermediate and then respond back to her. But now this is like, I can actually, you know, just a little too late, I think, but I can genuinely have conversations with some of my other relatives that have an iPhone that can do this. And it makes it so much easier. Or, you know, for the more probably I would say relevant scenario is if you're trying to book something abroad and you're like, I got to call this number and I got to talk to somebody that probably won't speak English. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. You can get that live translation on the fly. I think this is huge.
And there's an API available
to
developers to be able to implement this in their calling apps as well.
Way to tie it into the developers because this is a developers conference after all. Is this something that you can see yourself using a lot, or is it just kind of like a nice to have tool when you need it?
It's a nice to have tool when you need it. I mean, you know, I travel a little bit more. I've been going to Europe and things like that, and not knowing the language and having a translator app is really good. And then having that, the ability to do that offline in real time conversations, it's very helpful when you're in an Uber trying to tell someone where to go or trying to like order food or anything like that. Yeah,
I used it this morning, to be honest with you. Our Uber in was a little rough.
A little rough.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean,
yeah,
absolutely amazing feature that I think was not long overdue, but like this was something that a lot of other, you know,
it's very useful.
Yeah. And I wanted it on the iPhone. And I know that people, a lot of people who had different phones had it. And I'm like, well, we need this. It's coming at some point. We just need it.
Because everyone's had the experience of like passing a phone around in person or whatever. But you can't do that on the phone.
Yeah.
So I think this is great. I think it really does. It speaks to this sort of, I think there was a theme through a lot of WWDC this year about communication with the messages improvements, the improvements to the phone app, and with translation.
Yeah. Messages one is huge because that one, you just literally will see it underneath the
automatic.
Don't gotta do anything. FaceTime, I thought was really cool. You can have a FaceTime conversation with your relatives and or whoever.
Yeah, there's
and
subtitles on screen.
Subtitles, and it speaks it back to them. Like, good job. I like this. Not that you made it, but I don't know why I looked at
you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll take the credit.
Good job, Hartley.
Do not take the credit. There are so many developers that deserve the credit, but Hartley, good job. All right, let's wrap it up. You know what we like to do. What are your favorite features? We'll start with our wonderful guest, Kevin.
Thank you. It's definitely iPadOS. Just everything about it. I know that's such a softball.
No, it's not a softball. You just took mine. So
okay,
thanks.
Fine. I'll switch it up.
You're the guest.
I love the live translations.
Okay.
I do love that because.
Is that because it's the last thing we just
talked about? No, because I could have used it this morning in Uber.
Very true.
But also when I travel, I like to go off the beaten path. I like to get away. I like to go into the towns and everything like that.
Right.
And just sometimes being able to communicate directly and having that is just really nice.
So, okay.
Yeah,
that's a great answer.
It's legit.
Great answer.
Yeah.
Hartley, you have like 6,000 listed here.
I know. I'm gonna pick two.
Pick
I'm gonna pick two that we haven't mentioned.
Okay.
The first is Tiny. And the first, I think either you won't know what it is and won't care, or you will love it.
Okay.
I am one of the people who loves it, which is the ability to export notes to Markdown files.
Yeah, this is a writer problem right
yeah.
here.
Yeah. It's
very use case there.
I love Markdown. I write everything in Markdown.
Does this mean we can use Notion?
No. It means we can use Apple Notes. Because
this means you can copy and paste things pretty easily now into Notion, though.
The thing that always bothered me with Apple Notes is it syncs really well, but if I ever want to get those notes somewhere else, I've either got to copy and paste or I've got to export as PDF.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like using third-party apps like Obsidian or Ulysses as well. And there are the times when I want to bring those Apple notes over. Now I can do that seamlessly. So that's a really big game changer.
My thing was also iPadOS. I think it's almost perfect. Everything that we talked about earlier, that's the main reason why I loved it. But I'll give you another one. And it's the Vision OS widgets. I'm still blown away by them. They're just so cool.
It is cool.
It's just so cool. And it's something that I probably won't use as much as, you know, an iPhone or an iPad or a Mac. But like, I can't wait to just put the Vision Pro on and pop the widgets everywhere, put them around my house, redo my house. And then, you know, it's going to be there when you put it on again. So, yeah. So that's our WWDC 2025 show. Just thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course.
It's always fun.
Appreciate it. I thought it was great. I personally thought this was one of the best WWDCs in a long time.
I agree.
And I just would love to hear from all of you. Let us know in the comments, of course. Hit us up, email, Twitter, whatever the modes of communication that everyone uses. It's usually I get a lot of emails lately, so I love that. But yeah, let us know, and we'll catch everybody in the next episode.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.